Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
I remember just from college, we used to have a ministry in college days, and Hamp Stewart. Hamp, where you at? Well, I didn't see where y'all went to. Give Hamp a good welcome this morning. He's in and with us, and I won't go into those stories. That I could tell you bunches. Another guest we have this morning is my brother Joe, his wife Pam, and their son Matthew is with us from Tennessee. We won't hold that against them, but they're from Tennessee. Previously, they were from Alabama. We will hold that against them, but the other stuff we won't. But they're in. Give them a good welcome. What y'all saying up there? Up here on the front row. And I got to tell you this. I don't get a chance to do this often. But my brother, he's gotten to be a big wig in Olin Corporation. Flies all over. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I remember him when he was number the fourth child, all right? And he was number four. And I had my brother, older brother, myself, then I had a sister, some age between us. And then we had Joey or Joe, whatever we call him now. Joe was number four. And we were poor. How many have been poor in your life, right? We were poor. We were good looking, but we were poor in our lives. And so we didn't have a whole lot of toys. So he was my sister's dress-up doll. Come on, somebody. Well, we like to tell that all over the place. But in honor of him today, I'm gonna preach a sermon on Joe, and I'm gonna call it No Ordinary Joe. Come on, somebody. I just thought I'd preach a sermon in his honor today, having him here, called No Ordinary Joe. And everybody stand up. Would you come on? You're all comfortable and seated now. And let's read the story. We're going to talk about another Joe in the Bible. And he was no ordinary Joe. Go ahead back to Genesis. It says, now Israel loved Joe, we'll call him Joe, more than any other of his sons. How many know right then and there you got problems? Got problems. More than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors. And when his brothers saw their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, hear this dream that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. Behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. Behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. His brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even. How many feel the hatred growing here? They hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told them to his brothers and said, behold, I've dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he was told his father and to his father rebuked him. Everybody say rebuked him. He rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you've dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come and to bow ourselves to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in his mind. Go on. Yeah. They saw him afar off, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. And they said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. I want to talk to you in Genesis 42. Now Joseph was governor over the land and was the one who sold all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. All right, I want to talk to you this morning called No Ordinary Joe. Say that with me. No ordinary. Look at somebody say, I'm no ordinary Joe. Would you say somebody just say, I am no ordinary Joe. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning that you'd open up our lives afresh and new. Lord, you've already softened us by all that you did this morning. So, Lord, this morning, let the word of God find good soil to be planted in the lives of people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Look, one more people say, I'm no ordinary Joe. Would you say that? I want to give you something today that will cause you to win in life. I believe that God wants us to win in life. And I've got 53 pages of notes, and I probably won't get to a lot of it. We'd be here till supper time. Well, there's an hour extra of light. Is that right? You remember, you guys, you need to look this up. You remember the first time they did the time change and what happened? The first time they ever did the time change, and you got an extra, you know, and it got later. The sun went down later. Did you know that the farmers marched on Washington afraid the extra hour of sunlight would burn up their crops? Come on, somebody. I don't think we have as great a high esteem of Congress as we do today, you know, if they're able to do that. But I'm not going to preach at all, but let me give it most of it. Most of us live within the framework of our own life experience. Last 2 weeks, I taught. I just did a teaching. And today, I want to just preach to you. I want to just share a couple random principles out of the life of Joe, no ordinary Joe. And I want to give you some random principles that will help you in the last couple weeks that we've been talking about bruises. And I basically just did two counseling sessions for you about the bruises of life. But I want to talk to you because we suffer things in our life, and sometimes we don't really understand why we suffer what we suffer. But there is a rhyme and there is a reason to what we go through. We don't really understand it, but we think sometimes it's just random, but it's not. Because there are plans and devices formed against you to be able to make you not fulfill the will of God for your life. Whether you could see it or your parents could see it or those around you could see it, the devil many times can discern what the calling of our life is. And many times what he does is he harms us or hurts us and attacks us in the very area that God wants to use us in. When I was a young child, I had a horrible speech impediment. And I took many, many years of speech classes to be able to speak. And the idea that one day I would be a preacher is beyond my thinking. It still is. And yet, it's the very thing that the devil will try to wound you in is the thing that God wants to use you in. And we talked about how many of the wounds and the hurts come as small children. His biggest lie is that the attacks that we are facing is a result of things that we have done. So we believe that we're being recompensed for things and past evils. But many times, listen, the battles we face are not so much about our yesterday as they are about our tomorrow. The battles we face is not so much about things we did yesterday, but about what God wants to do with us in the future. And the devil plants and tries to stop us from reaching the potential God wants us to have. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, and I went in detail about a lot of that. Your enemy understands many times before you do, there's a destiny locked up in your heart. There's a plan that God has for you. And for when you reach your destiny, you got to realize this. If he could come and attack you before you reach your destiny, before you reach where God wants to bring you, before you're able to get there, because if he can fight you when you're young and fight you when you are not reached your point, he is easier to defeat you and bring you into utter defeat. So he'll fight you many times when you're young. Some days you're just to stand up and tell the devil, you better fight me before I get there. Come on, somebody. Because if I get to where God wants me, then I'm gonna wreck some damage on the kingdom of the devil. So the devil fights us many times when it happens. The adversity and attacks are sent to cause you to draw back and to lock the door of your destiny. Everybody take out a key. Everybody got keys in your pocket, your purse. Take out a key, would you, this morning? I have a key somewhere. Let me borrow it. I got keys right over here. I want you to take out the main key that you use the most. Maybe it's a car key. Maybe it's a house key. Let me tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil, listen, there is a key to the destiny of your heart. There is a key that is literally, and what the attacks of the devil is for this, is for you in the spirit realm to take that key that only you have authority over and to lock up your heart and there to seal up the destiny that God has for you. And to lock up the destiny that God has planted deep in your heart. The wound, the hurt, the attack, the lies is for you to take that key out of the destiny of your heart and to lock up that dream so that that dream will never come to pass. But this morning, we're going to unlock. Come on, we're going to do some unlocking this morning. And you're going to fulfill the dreams that God's got for you. Come on, somebody say amen. There's things God's got for you. If you told you, you would never believe. It's not a coincidence that you were hurt in the area that you were hurt in. It wasn't a coincidence I couldn't speak plain when I was young. I understand that. So when we become hurt, we're wounded, we're disillusioned, we begin to lock the very doors that God wants us. Look at somebody say, I'm on my way. Would you say somebody, I'm on my way. You've got to learn that God's going to do some things in your life and you start unlocking the doors again. When you begin to get faith like this morning that all things are possible, you begin to unlock again the doors of your life that you have locked up. That you said, it'll never happen. That'll never be. And what happens in your life is you begin to unlock them. I remember we had Dale Evans here one time. And Dale Evans said that when she married Roy Rogers, she thought she was marrying, what did she say? How did she say it? I forget what she said. Yeah. She thought I was marrying, she thought I was marrying somebody, but I ended up marrying Trigger. Come on, somebody. Now, some of you don't even know who Roy Rogers was. I was at a business yesterday, and I had a man with me. His name was Glenn Campbell. Come on, somebody. And I'm sitting there, and I think I'm going to use this. And so the teller is sitting there, and I said, guess what his name is? She said, what? I said, Glenn Campbell. This blank stare just came in her brain. She didn't have a clue who Glenn Campbell was. Yeah. She didn't have a clue who Glenn Campbell was. Well, everybody say I'm no ordinary Joe. Would you say, just say I'm no, let's go back on track. I'm no ordinary Joe. So what happens is Joseph is a prime example of when adversity, listen, adversity is a sign that you have a destiny. Adversity is a sign that you have a destiny. The devil doesn't attack just nobodies. The reason you have adversity, it's a sign that you have a destiny. And Joseph is a prime example of that. When he was born, there was no indication of what lay in store for him. He was a favorite son of the father, though. And the Bible says his father made for him a special clothing called a coat of many colors. And when everybody else had on drab gray and drab brown and drab whatever, here comes a little boy that's got on a coat of many colors. And he was highly favored. Everybody say favored. The Bible says he was highly favored of the Father. And I don't know about you, but all my life I have believed I am highly favored of the Father. That he loves me, that he cares for me. And the Bible says God gave him this coat. I'm highly favored. And what happens is this, the way that God accomplishes specialness in our life is this thing called favor. And one of the things I've learned in life is that if I can get the favor of God on my life, that is more important than anything else I can pray for in terms of physicalness in my life. When I've got favor, I don't have to pray for money. Favor brings money. When I've got favor, I don't have to have the down payment. I've got favor. I can buy a house with no down payment. Now, a lot of people did that, a while back. But you can buy a house with no down payment when you've got the favor of God in your life. When God gives you favor with somebody, favor, it's Luke 2 says, it speaks of Jesus, and it says this. It says, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and everybody say what? The favor of God was on the Lord Jesus. The favor of God. And look what the next verse says. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor. See, favor is not something you get all at once, one big gulp of it. You grow in favor. God begins to give you more favor. When you begin to, you're trustworthy of the favor he gave you, he begins to give you more favor. But what happens is this, when you get favor in your life, favor is that invisible thing that God does that causes you to find grace in other people's eyes and grace in situations. Favor makes you stand out in a crowd when they can't see nobody but you. Favor is that thing, that intangible thing, that when God puts it on you, you learn it. You aren't where you are because of all your smartness. Come on, all the dumb people say amen today. You're there because of the favor God put on your life. When God puts favor on you, you don't have to be the best. When God puts favor, you don't have to be the smartest. And when he puts favor, you don't have to be the prettiest. It's just the favor of God. God gave the reason you signed that contract. It wasn't because of your smartness. It was the favor of God. He didn't get that position because he was so talented. That's where a lot of people are so confused in their life. They sit in pews sometimes and think, well, I should be up there. I can do better than them. What are they? I can say, I can pray, I can speak, I can make a night. I can. What are they doing up there? It's called favor. Everybody say favor. Because when you've got the favor of God, it's unexplainable many times. Listen, you think it's talent or gifting, but God says it's by the favor. You know, and let me remember who Billy Graham was. Billy Graham, many years ago, had invited, I think it was Ethel Waters, to come and speak. And this was at the twilight of her life. She was old. She could not hit the notes anymore. She sang. She'd get up there. Her body was trembling because of her age. But she would sing out. When his eye is on the sparrow, with every broken note and every miss, you know what? The favor of God was on her, and she would move millions of people. You know why Billy Graham did that? Because he himself, you know, he wasn't always a big known star. When he was young, one day William Randolph Hearst heard him. And Hearst said to the day, he said, you know what? I don't know why I did what I did, but you know what he did? He wrote a little note to his editor, two words, and it was this, Puff Graham. That means blow him up, puff him. And he said, you know, I don't know why I wrote that. I know why, cause a favor, come on, the favor of God. And I'm going to tell you something, when you come in life, you understand there's a favor that God can put on your life. And if you're praying for money, don't pray, pray for favor. Because when you got favor, favor will bring money. Don't pray. Everybody say no ordinary Joe, would you? So what I've learned in life is this. You begin to understand that favor does that. I'm going to tell you this. I'll just tell you right now. There's a lot of ugly guys in here who's got pretty wives. Come on, somebody. That's not nice to say. I don't understand that. But watch this. Let me give you a script. Okay, let me give you a biblical scripture on that. Come on. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains what? That's the only way you got her. Come on, somebody. Everybody say amen. You obtained favor from the Lord. You didn't get her because you're good looking. Listen, you think that because of that bag of potato chips and government cheese, you got her. You didn't get her because of that. You got her because of the favor of God. Well, you're sitting down on me here. I can tell all that. Come on, all the ugly people say amen today. Come on, somebody help me out here. When God favors you, he puts a distinguishing mark that separates you from everybody else. He puts something in you that causes you to stick out. And listen, and the key is this. We're going to do this morning. Let's see what I'm going to do with all this. The Bible says that God gave. I'm not going to strip. I'm just taking this sweater off just so everybody stay calm here. Let me get all this going. All right. Thank you. My wife said I was very handsome, too, when she married me. The Bible says when God puts favor on your life, he does it to make you stand out in a crowd. Come on, somebody. So what he does is this. When God puts favor, you stick out more than anybody else. Now, can you imagine, the Bible says, when you read the Old Testament, you know, you look at their clothing, and the women wore some, but the men wore old, drab, gray, you know, brown tunics, or whatever you want to call them. And here is a father who wants his son to be known that he is favored, and the Bible says he made him a coat of many colors. How many know that Joseph stood out in a crowd? Come on, somebody. There wasn't no doubt who the favored child was. When he went to Walmart, everybody knew, hey, that's a favored child right there. I wonder which one of them kids that the daddy is favoring the most. Now, some of you may question that with the attire, but his coat probably looked better. And what happens is this, is God intended for Joseph to stand out in a crowd. Because what he put on him was loud. Everybody say loud. He put on something on him that made him stand out in a... And it's a typology of what the favor of the Father does in your life. That's why for years, all these boys tried to marry Jasmine. Until Prince Charming came along. I walked in that room overseas in Israel, and I had the favor of God on my life. Come on, somebody. She couldn't see nobody but me. She said she looked at my blue eyes, but I know she was looking at my coat. Come on, somebody. It was the favor of God in our lives. There's favor that God puts on you. But God intended for it to be loud. Everybody else's coat was drab and brown. But the Father designed it to attract attention. And when God puts favor on you, he puts it on you to attract attention. Now, I don't know about you. I was always a bashful kind of person. And I always did this. But when God puts a favor on you, God, it attracts people to you. God didn't put the gifts and the callings for you to go hide over in a corner. God put the gift and the talents and the giftings on you that it might draw attention. And you might learn how to give all the glory back to God. But he never made you to be hiding under a bushel. He didn't light you up to put you under a bushel. He lit you up so that your light might shine to all men. So he put you out there, a coat of many colors. The Father says it's a coat of many colors so that when you walk in a room, it speaks for itself. I don't have to say nothing, do I? And none of you are going to invite me out to lunch, are you? Because we'd walk in and I would speak for myself. And I've learned the favor, everybody could see it. He had something on his life where every place he went, the favor of his Father stood out. In the midst of his brothers, when they were all eating together, guess who stood out in the crowd? When they went somewhere, guess who stood out in the crowd? When they were just lounging around, guess who stood out in the crowd? That was because, everybody say it, that was because of favor. The favor of the Father. He was no ordinary Joe. He always stuck out. And the Father, listen, had to know that the coat of many colors would distinguish him and cause him to stand out. But also at the same time, it would draw criticism. Some of you have been criticizing my coat already. It draws criticism. See, one of the things about the favor of God, we think that everybody's going to want our coat dry cleaned and starched and cleaned and brought back to us. No, 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 no. Favor not only brings the favor of the Father, it also brings criticism. Have you ever found out yet in your life that not everybody rejoices with your blessing? Come on, somebody. Some folks aren't happy till you're beat down and depressed and suicidal as they are. Can I get a better amen this morning? But when you make up your mind and you say, look, I'm not trying to prove nothing. I'm just wearing what God gave me. I wish I could tell you everybody's going to throw a party and congratulate you over your coat. They're not going to do it. And when you come, listen, some folks are made and mad at you for just wearing the thing. All right, look at somebody and say, I'm no ordinary Joe. Would you say, I'm no ordinary Joe? Now, listen to this. Here's what I found out. I found out a few things since I knew it all. We were talking, Jack and I were talking back there. We were 23 years old. We knew it all. I mean, we knew it all. Here's a few things I've learned since I knew it all. One thing I learned is they're not so mad at me because I got a coat. They're mad at me because they don't have a coat. Come on, somebody. See, because if they all had coats, they wouldn't be mad at me about my coat. Come on, somebody. Is that right? All of you wouldn't be as longing to have this, if all of you had one of these also. You learn in life this. Not so many people are mad at you because of what God did for you. They're mad at you because God didn't do it for them. Just a few things I learned since I knew it all. Joseph wouldn't take off his coat, as far as we could tell. Wore it every day, it appears. Dinner table. They saw it was a symbol of the favor of God on his life. But what they didn't know, listen, what they didn't know was, while he was wearing it on the outside, God was doing something on the inside. And the favor of God produced inside of him a dream. And the Bible says he dreamed a dream. And while they were upset with what was wearing on the outside, God allowed him to have a dream. Now listen, when the favor of God is on your life, you could do more sleeping than other people can do working. Come on, somebody. When the favor of God is on your life, you can do more in your sleep. There was a man, I read his testimony, he was a great giver to missions. And he was poor at one point. He prayed to God. He said, God, I want to, if you, and the Bible says God gave him a dream of how to make a certain plow. And I forgot what kind of plow it was, but he made a plow and made millions of dollars off a plow. And then gave to missions in his heart. I mean, on his life. Just gave out. When the favor of God is on your life, you can do more in your sleep than others can do all day long, plotting, thinking. Okay, you're thrilled about that. We'll let that one stay right there. Listen, because favor is not working it, favor is wearing it. I'm not working it, I'm just wearing it. And Joseph had a dream, and he dreamed a dream of dominion and a dream of authority. And what happens is many of you have had dreams and visions that you're going somewhere, and that this is not your ending place. One of the keys about life is this. You understand this is not your ending place, but this is only a temporary place God is bringing you through. And it is amazing that when how God gives dreams and favor to people that aren't perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a candidate. Would you say, you're a candidate? No, you're a candidate for that. Isn't it amazing that God puts favor and dreams on people who are not perfect? Because Joseph, the Bible says, began unwisely to begin to share. God doesn't major, listen, on my faults. God tells me of my future. And as I'm reaching toward my future, I outgrow my faults. If you sit around and concentrate on your faults and try to get your faults under control. When the pastor here asked me to come on staff, I remember thinking, I can't do that. I got this and this and this and this that I haven't conquered yet. And I'm not here yet. And I can't do it. And I remember sitting down with him and talking. He said, no. God doesn't major on your faults. He speaks to you of your future. And as you reach toward your future, you outgrow your faults. So you begin to grow when God begins to speak to you. But God doesn't always. And so what happens is God begins to do those amazing things in your life. And Joseph did not use a lot of wisdom. His brothers, they were already mad at him, the Bible says. He'd been walking around for months with this coat on. He'd been walking. The Bible says they were mad at him, not so much because of his coat, because they didn't have one. So they were already upset at him. And listen to this. And they were already mad. And he comes to them with this coat on and says, I've had a dream. Oh, really? Yeah. And he begins to tell this dream. He says, we're out in the field binding sheaves. And all of a sudden, all of your sheaves bowed down to my sheaf. Now, under the best of circumstances, that gets your brothers mad. But when it comes from a little boy sitting there with a loud coat on, it's a provocative statement. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says that in it, when he comes to him, a guy standing there in the loud coat on, and they says, I know you don't like looking at my coat, but how are you going to like it when you're down on your knees looking at it? Bible says they hated him the more. And then it says, and then he dreamed another dream. And he comes back to them and he says, part two. And this one, he's got his mom and dad bowing down to him. And the Bible says his daddy heard about it and rebuked him. I bet his daddy was like, I should have never given him that coat. I should have never given him that coat. And so he's got all these things going on in his life. And Joseph is dreaming. But you know one thing about dreams? When you've got the favor on you, your dreams never get littler. They get bigger. Come on, somebody. When you dream again, they get bigger. They never get smaller. A dream of destiny never begins to shrink when the favor of God is on you. Doesn't shrink because of the adversity that comes when you share it. It doesn't, because all those things. And he says, remember all those dreams and all that's taking place. And so he says and literally says, I am no ordinary Joe. I've got a destiny. I've got somewhere God is going to bring me. He had no idea the route that he was about to take on. The brothers said, let's go kill him and then we'll see what becomes of the dream. And you know what they did? They do just what the devil does to you. Now listen to this. He comes, he shares his dreams. Got this loud coat on. And he tells them of the destiny of his life. And you know what his brother says? Let's kill him. Let's throw him in a pit. And then let's see what becomes of it. You know what they said? We better do something to him before he gets to where he's going. Because once he gets to where he's going, we ain't going to be able to control him anymore. And what the devil did in your life before your mom or dad ever knew the destiny maybe of your life, before you ever discerned the destiny of your life, the devil did. And the devil said the same thing his brothers did. Let's get him or get her while she's young. Let's get them now, because if they ever get to where they're supposed to be, we won't be able to handle them like we can handle them right now. He tried to kill Moses as a baby. He tried to kill Jesus as a baby because he knew if I let them live till they're grown, I'll not be able to hold them back. Because if they get to where they're going, if the destiny on their life, if they get to where they're going. So the Bible says the devil comes, he begins to fight him. And the reason you've been fought so strongly is because of that very thing. Everybody look at somebody and say, I'm no ordinary Joe. Would you say, somebody say, I'm no ordinary Joe. Let me tell you something about dreams. Look at number one, dreams. Dreams produce discomfort in those who don't have any. Did you hear me? If you have a dream, you don't mind listening to somebody else's dream. But if you're just going nowhere, you don't like listening to somebody else's dreams. Listen, if the highlight of your life is listening to your cereal snap, crackle, and pop, you ain't got a life. Come on, somebody. If that's the highlight of your day, you're not going to endure listening to somebody else's dream. All right, this. Number two, this one I put on. Don't expect those who are content with the status quo to embrace your dream or to rise above it. You know why? Because if they accept what you're saying and you get to where you're going, you disqualify all theirs, why it can't happen, why it won't happen. What happens is they're exposed for what they are, and that is they are excuse makers. Pull your toes back in a little bit right now. Because you end up being exposed for what you are, and that is excuse. My heart, don't get mad at me. My heart, it hurts me a little bit here. And number three, you got to be careful not to expect understanding from the unenlightened. You should have seen in here when I began many years ago, I said, I want to start a school. We did okay here. You should have seen it when I went back to my high school, where I went to high school and told them I started a school. I was not voted most likely to begin a school. I'll just say that right there. There's people when you see them, you know, listen, there's some people when you see them, you know what they're going to talk about. You ever see anybody that? You ever run anybody that you know what they're going to talk about when you see them? Same set of gripes they had last time you saw them, they're going to have the same set. Their last 10,000 days are going to be like their next 10,000 days. Moving right along. The Bible says he had a dream and they throw him into a pit. And what they did was this. The Bible says, which I'm glad I'm about to do. The Bible says they took off his coat. You read that? They've been wanting to take that thing off for a long time. And the Bible says they threw him, before they threw him in that pit, they took off the coat. Because that's, every time they saw that little guy, they saw the favor of God that was on his life. Every time they saw him, it the favor of the Father was on him. And the Bible said, listen to this, and the Bible says they took, the one thing they did, they didn't throw him in there with it, they took the coat off of him. They stripped him of his favor, they thought. And they took it, and the Bible says they maimed it. They ripped it up. They threw blood on it, and they brought it back to the Father and said, look, Father, look at your coat that you gave. Look what it is now, ripped up and bloodied up. I'm going to tell you, the devil's done that with some of you. God favored you, gifted you, and the devil came and attacked you, and he took that favor that God had given you and took it back and threw it in the face of God and says, look. Look what they did. Look what happened to them. I'll tell you something about favor. Once you wore the coat long enough, what was on the outside gets on the inside. And whether anybody steals your outer cloak or not, doesn't matter, because you got the favor of God on your life. And you watch Joseph, no coat in tow, everywhere he went, the favor of God was on his life. From the pit to the house of Potiphar to the jail cell, no matter the Pharaoh's house, no matter where he went, the Bible says the favor of God was on him. And what happens is the way of not only offending when he tries to take your coat off, he tries to offend not only you but God. But I said, once you wear it, it's down on the inside of you. Because if you listen, when you've had it on long enough, you just learn it. And some people, I've learned this in life, they hate you because they ain't you. That's a good English word there. Because God made you who you are and what you're to be. And they try to bring you to a place where you will not accomplish what the Lord has for you. But Joseph had a dream. He ends up in Potiphar's house. And Genesis 39 says this. It says, after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. And she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. You know, one translation says he left his coat in her hand. Let me tell you, somebody can steal your coat, but they can never steal your favor. God can always give you another coat. And you have to learn this. Favor will attract all kinds of folks to you. Doesn't necessarily mean that it says that Joseph was handsome. But I'm going to tell you something. When you got the favor of God on your life, you attract people to you. I told you one day, I'm sitting up here after a sermon. A girl comes up. She says, she walked up. She says, pastor, can you feel my vibes? I said, no, but I bet my wife can. Now, Jasmine, will you come right over here? Come on, somebody. We were in Brazil for one of Jasmine's brother's weddings. And there was one of the most renowned evangelists of Brazil. But he wasn't the best. He was kind of, and he had run off from his wife with this beautiful woman. I said, what's wrong with this picture? She wasn't attracted to him physically. She was attracted to the favor on his life. Leroy, you better learn this real fast. There, you're going to have a lot of people attracted to you because of the favor on your life. Okay, we'll leave that right there. We'll let you further that thought in your brain. Favor attracts all kinds. She was upset. The Bible says, listen, those that cannot control you will condemn you. I'm just throwing random thoughts out here. I'll just out of these. Those that can't control you will condemn you. This woman grabbed his coat, stole his coat like his brothers had done. And because she couldn't control him, she condemned him. And you're learning in your life that those that cannot control you will condemn you many times. Potiphar's wife takes a coat and uses it to fabricate evidence and all that. He finds himself in prison with the butler and the baker. You remember that? It wasn't a candlestick maker, a butler and a baker. And the Bible says they have a dream. And he interprets their dream. One of them, things look rosy. The other one, So the baker gets the axe and the butler gets put back in. And Joseph said this one request, when you get restored, remember me. Guess what happened? Let me tell you another thing. One of the things that can harm you in your life is people that you helped will act like they didn't even know you. Because they think where you are right now is your permanent place. They don't know you're on a journey, and one day you might be second in command of all Egypt. I'll guarantee you, had the butler knew that, he would not have forgotten what Joseph was doing. But sometimes people forget you that you helped. And the Bible says they forgot him until the day came when Pharaoh had a dream. And what the devil wants to do is this. He wants to use situations like that. Number one, people condemning you that can't control you. Second, people that forget you after you help them. And the enemy wants to wound you to the place that causes you to close the door that will take you to your destiny. You've got to live a life where you will go through hurts and bruises and things in your life. You've got to know that you'll go through that. People will forget. People will condemn. People will attack you because of the favor on your life. They'll hate you because of your dreams. They'll do all these things. But the devil wants you to take your key of your heart and lock your heart. Never again will I let anybody in. Never again will I love. And what happens is, they're afraid to identify with you because they think your temporary status is where you're going to always be. And so you get hurt out of that, but you don't want to. So one of the keys in life, listen, when God's favor is on you, you can't keep you where God, nobody can keep you where God does not want you. Pharaoh has a dream. The butler says, I know a man, and you can't, listen, everybody say you can't keep a good man down. Would you say that? And listen to this. Now listen to this principle. Let me just tell you what I'll just say this out loud. One of the best things I like about a staff person. See, I'm not only a pastor, I'm a boss. We got a pretty good sized staff. One of the things I love about a staff person, and one of the things I cannot stand about a staff pastor, is one that will never help another staff pastor. That's their ministry. They're doing that outing. I've watched through the years the ones that's lasted and the ones that haven't. The ones that's lasted is, what y'all doing? We'll come help. What y'all doing? Well, yeah, we'll close down. What y'all doing? Yeah, you can borrow that. Yeah, we'll come help. We'll come. We'll be there. Yeah, we'll bring our word. Come on, somebody. Because let me tell you what kind of guy Joseph was. Joseph was the kind of guy that helped everybody else with their dreams. Butler, he helped him with their dreams. Got in before Pharaoh, then helped Pharaoh with his dream. I like the way he did it. He didn't take any credit. He said, this is the Lord. I can't know it. Because the favor of God is still on him. And he says, here's what's going to happen. 7 skinny cows, 7 fat cows, 7 good years, 7 bad years. He said, and then when he got done, he said, and let Joseph tell Pharaoh what I think he should do. He should find a man who is wise. Come on, somebody. They've been looking for somebody for a long time to interpret this dream. Nobody could interpret it. He said, I think that he should find a man, put him over everything, and that's got wisdom, and that's what I think you ought to do. Knowing favor, come on, somebody. Knowing favor, he's standing there. They've stolen it outwardly, but he knows he's standing there with a coat, come on, of many colors. This thing is stiff. A coat of many colors. He's standing there before, says, I think you ought to look for a man that's got the, you know, that smart favor on him and choose anybody you want to choose. Come on, somebody. Amen. Standing like a Cheshire cat, just. Take that thing off. And so the Bible says he picks him. You ever noticed that in Joseph's life you never hear him complain about who he's supposed to be? I had a staff person many years ago. They used to always, every time I talked to them, they told me who they're supposed to be. You know what, Joseph? You never find Joseph ever once. While he's in prison, I'm supposed to be, people bowing down to me. When he's being condemned by Potiphar, listen, here's a principle. If you cannot be satisfied in affliction, if you cannot be satisfied and minister and give while you're in the pit or while you're in the prison, you will not be fruitful when you're in the palace. Can I help you a little bit better? Watch this. If you don't know how not to be mad in a two-room apartment, all that a big house does is gives you more rooms to be mad in. Come on, somebody. Do you hear that? Amen. I'll be sexually pure as soon as I get married. Ask Tiger Woods about that. You don't think his problem started after he got married, do you? He was doing a lot of stuff thinking, once I get married, I won't have any more temptations. All the people, married people say, oh no. Would you say that right now? Once I get married, then that'll get rid of all the problems. Can I have a better amen this morning? This sanctified Presbyterian group in here this morning. I think you ought to pick somebody smart, somebody intelligent, somebody full of wisdom. The Bible says, Pharaoh said, who else in all our kingdom is like this guy? Pick him. In one day, he went from the prison to the palace. Can I tell you that you are closer than you think? In one day, he went from the prison to the palace. Sometimes you think, man, it's so far away. It'll never happen. It'll never turn around. My marriage, my business, they brought Joseph out suddenly from the prison. And one day he goes from the prison to the palace and he gets another coat. The Bible says they put on this coat, this ring, this authority and all that. Listen, you cannot keep a favored man down. And one day, listen, you're closer to you. Look at Genesis. We're almost there. I'm on page 43. We zip through this thing. Look at this. Before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenet, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of Onan, bore them to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful. Now listen to this. If you're going to get through what you've been through, the last 2 weeks I taught you about bruises of life. Let me give you this. If you're going to get through all of that, here's what you need to do. The first child that Joseph had, he called him Manasseh, which meant forgetfulness, which meant God has caused me to forget all the toil and all the bruises and all the hurts. Before your dream comes to pass, you've got to forget all the junk that folks put you through. Some of you are not being fruitful because you've got too good a memory. You remember every injustice. You remember every hurt. You remember everything that didn't happen like you thought it was going to happen. If you're going to be fruitful in your life, you've got to ask God for the gift of forgetting. I'm getting that gift better every day. I mean, it's coming on me. I can feel it coming on me. In other words, God's been so good to me that I'm not even remembering how bad everybody else was to me. Let me tell you, some of you, I said, you've got to have a memory. You've got to give birth to forgiveness. You've got to give birth to forgiveness. And the Bible says you never read that he was a bitter man. You never read about everything he could have listed. Everything you did to me, everything. God could trust him with authority because he was a forgiving man. And the Bible says, and God put him in there and he gave him. The second thing was fruitfulness. And God made me to be fruitful, Ephraim. Listen, before you can get fruitful, you've got to get forgetful. You'll never be fruitful if you're not forgetful. You'll never have a great, your business will never flourish. Your marriage will never go on. Your friendships will never be this. If you don't learn how to forget, then when you learn that, then fruitfulness comes. Because if you can't act right in the pit and the prison, if you got an attitude when you're in a one-room apartment, you're going to have an attitude in a mansion. You got to learn how to do that in the midst of all the stuff you're going through. If you can't act right in the pit, you can't act right in the palace. That means while folks are talking about you, when you don't have money in your checkbook, when you're all this, you need to learn how to walk in integrity now, bringing forth some fruit in the midst of your affliction. Joseph does all that. His brothers come, and the Bible says the day came when he's on that throne, his sheaf is lifted high, and all of his brothers bow down. What can you imagine what a day that was like? But you know what? It wasn't one of these, okay, right. You know, they were such a dysfunctional family. When their father finally died, they came to Joseph and said, "You remember, Daddy, what Daddy said when he was alive? You know how to forgive us." And Joseph said, "What kind of man am I? I know what Daddy said, but this isn't because Daddy said it." He said, "I forgave you. I didn't hold any bitterness at you. I forgot all. I've had an Ephraim. I've had Manasseh. I forgot all that. I gave birth to forgiveness. I gave birth to forgetfulness. That's why I'm so fruitful in my life." And the Bible says he loved them and cared for them all the days of their life. And God could trust Joseph in the palace because he trusted him and saw him in the pit and in the prison. He trusted him in the palace. He was no different in the palace than he'd been in the pit because he had borne an Ephraim and a Manasseh. You say this, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And he says, "You know what? The best thing ever happened to me was you guys fought me." In his mind, he said this, the best thing, he looked at them, what a dysfunctional family. I mean, I can go all the things they went through. He looks at them, they're busted, they don't have anything. And here he is on the throne of Egypt. And he's thinking in his brain, the best thing ever happened to me was you guys fought my dream when I was little. Best thing ever happened in my life is what you did to me. You meant it for evil. But you know what? Really, it was God behind the scenes meaning it for my good. So I never locked the destiny of my heart. I never locked it down because I kept it open and soft before you. And I believe this with all my heart, that what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Everybody say amen. Would you come on? Everybody stand up. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning. Would you do that? Everybody stand up this morning. I know it's a little bit late, but we'll tie this in. Listen, when the enemy at times has done all that in your life, today I want to do this. I'm going to do a quick prayer, and then we can believe the Lord. I believe we've had an altar call already, and the Lord's done great things. Just close your eyes just for a minute, and I'll do a quick prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those in here that have been attacked and abused and misused in their life. And some of them have locked down the dreams of their heart. But this morning, I see the keys of destiny being brought back out and things being unlocked and released. I see Manasseh being born, people giving birth to forgiveness this morning, releasing it. The scorecard is being ripped up, torn up. The bitterness is being released, and a spirit of forgiveness, a renewed spirit of forgiveness is coming, where things are being released. And Father, I pray this morning that out of that, there would be a fruitfulness that they have not experienced in a long, long time. That there would be a release in their life, and that they would be free to see fulfilled the dreams they had when they were young. And those things are not so far off. Listen, the Lord says it again right now. You're not as far away from it as you think. In one day, the Lord can take you from the prison to the palace. In one day. But here's the key. You work to help somebody else fulfill their dream. And when you do that, God then will bring to pass your dream. I told you that's what I love about staff. I've got some staff now. They love to help other staff bring their dreams to fruition. Because that's what Joseph did. He just helped other people's dreams come true. And the day came when God said, "As you have sowed, so shall you reap." You've given, now you're going to get it back. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. So let me tell you this. This week, instead of going out of here thinking, "I'm going to get my dream," I want you to go out of here today, think, whose dream can I help fulfill? Whose dreams can I help see brought to fruition? Who can I help to see their dream? And what you end up, without even knowing it, the day will come when God then will fulfill your dream. And God will send people to help you bring your dream to fruition. Give and it shall be given. It says, cast your bread upon the water. Many days will come back with jam on it. Come on, that's in the Hebrew. You can't speak Hebrew, but that's in the Hebrew. No, that's just my interpretation. God will send your bread back. You'll see it come back. Because as you give, you shall give. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless this people. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. The Lord give you peace. And the Lord be gracious to you. That means favor. May the Lord grant you favor in all that you do. And everybody said it, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a good clap offer. Would you do that? Come on. Hug somebody. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.